RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Our confidence in Tyler is a real big positive, a real plus, but it doesn't factor into whether Lamar plays. If Lamar's ready to go, he's playing. That's it, for sure.
Harbs yesterday, it should be pointed out that the Ravens have won two games against playoff teams this year, and Tyler Huntley started them both. That said, the other guy should be a three-time MVP winner, except everybody twisted themselves into a pretzel a year ago. He still has two MVPs. Lamar Jackson, are we thinking he's playing in this football game on Sunday?
Well, I think if he's deemed to be close enough to full health to play and protect himself and not be at risk or at untoward risk for future injury, then yeah, he's playing. He's their starting quarterback. There's nothing remotely close to a quarterback controversy here. It's great that they could adapt and find ways to win once at home and once on the road against NFC North playoff bound teams. I don't know, that is a template that's going to be easy to replicate. I don't think you can hand the ball to Derrick Henry 35 times every week. And I think at a certain point in time, and especially in the playoffs, your quarterback's got to be able to make some throws downfield. So, yeah, this to me is kind of ridiculous that there is a lunatic fringe out there that's implying in some way that, keep riding Huntley. But I Huntley's revitalized his career, and Huntley's made himself a lot of money this year, whether it's here or somewhere else. His decision-making has gotten better. He's kept himself from getting too hyper or too sort of sleepy. I feel like we've had opposite ends of the spectrum with him in terms of sort of his energy and how he handled that offense from a tempo standpoint. I think he's figured out what he can do and what he can't do, and he's not trying to do things anymore that he can't do. And from a passing standpoint, frankly, there's a lot that he really can't do, and they don't want him doing. Lamar Jackson, back willing, will have an opportunity to write this season in a lot of ways. He finds a way to win three more football games. Then he's going to have changed the entire tenor of this season. And there's nothing holding back for tomorrow. If he's playing, he's got to play all out. He's got to be arms, legs, everything's got to be in play. And if it is, I think they'll beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, you give Tyler Huntley a ton of credit because this past offseason, he was the fifth quarterback in Cleveland.
Well, the Ravens were done with him, too.
They had Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett at that time, Dylan Gabriel, and Shador. And then they brought in Tyler Huntley as the fifth quarterback in Cleveland. Like, his career was very much sketchy at best, and he reached out to John Harbaugh, and they talked about that phone call following the Bears game, but yeah, these two games, he's proven that at a minimum, that he's going to have a market for backup quarterback and maybe a competition somewhere. But you said it, Chase. He's playing within himself. He knows who he is. This is not a guy that's going to take over a game with his arm or even with his legs. And he made some big plays with his legs on the quarterback draws at Lambeau Field. But you got to be ahead of schedule. When you're with Tyler Huntley, if you're third and 10, third and 8 plus, it's going to be a struggle. But if you're third and 5 and in, you're third and 3, that's where he's at his best because he's going to get that shotgun snap and he's going to throw it. Lamar Jackson, the fall off from him when he's at his best, when he's right, to a Tyler Huntley is immense.
Oh, it's enormous.
And we'll see. Harb said that they would know a lot more about Lamar's status come Wednesday. I think if he doesn't practice Wednesday, that's not alarms going off for me. Now, if he's not on the practice field Thursday, then I don't think he's playing.
So let's assume he plays, and I have a sneaking suspicion he might practice tomorrow. But let's say he plays, and we go back to last year, guys. And last year, remember, Derrick Henry ran all over them in the regular season finale.
Yep.
And then the Steelers started that game selling out to start stop Henry. And Lamar would keep those RPOs. And there were no huge gains, but he kept moving the chains, kept moving the chains. And that led to them eventually taking that game over. Lamar's got to be capable of doing that Sunday night, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, that's a defense that he's had a lot of recent success against, and they've had a lot of recent success against. If he's cleared to play, then he's going to be able to use his legs to get himself out of danger and also to advance the football and keep drives alive. Are they going to lean into design runs for him right away and some of the draw runs we saw for Snoop? I mean, maybe not. I don't know that they, you know, that they necessarily go in with that, but I think it's got to be there, and maybe they do. I also think the offensive line, for the first time in a long time, probably feels kind of okay about itself.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, nice game.
And have a little bit of confidence, yeah. and Ricard provides a lot, and they've also been able to get productive play out of these other running backs. So if Justice comes back, you might have a really deep room. And as much as I'm talking about, obviously, Snoop is not in Lamar's class, I don't know that you need wide receivers to win this game. Like, you don't want it to be as bad as it was with Aaron Rodgers, right? 8 of 22 to the wide receivers for like 50 yards. But I also think I'm going to stay in heavy personnel as long as I can. And if I have this full complement of tight ends and four running backs I trust, if Hill's back, I mean... I'm going to be willing to get a lot done out of those personnel groups.
But that's the thing. This is not going to be a shootout. Like, Jason, does 24 points? Is that, like, do you see the Steelers score more than that? Like, I
think it'd take turnovers.
Yeah, like, you aren't going to have to win this game in the 30s. Like you can play within yourself, and you're not going to be chasing points, but going back to what Ken was saying in that wild card game, and even in that game, Derrick Henry ran for 186
Well, remember,
Yeah. But on the game's opening drive, which was a touchdown drive, it was 13 plays, 95 yards, took up 7 minutes, 13 seconds. There was a stretch in that opening drive in which Lamar carried the ball 5 straight plays. Now, some of them were scrambles, mm-hmm. some of them were design runs, but he carried it 5 straight plays on that opening drive. Now, I'm not expecting that on Sunday, but to have that threat, because if you present that threat to the Steelers, it's only going to make Derrick Henry that much more impactful as well, where it's not like they can just crash the middle of the field and really try to take out Henry or even Keaton Mitchell to that.
Jason, I want to bring up something you brought up a minute ago, because I think it's a very good point. Like, this offensive line got to be feeling good about themselves. Like, that's the best we've seen of them this year. And Ricard, that was the best Ricard this year. They've got to be feeling pretty darn good coming into this football game.
Yeah, I mean, there's that Steelers team has had issues against the run. Now, again, remember the last game. You caught them off of the Buffalo thing where it's like, we're just going to run, you know, cutback runs until you stop it. And they never stopped it. And then you got the best they had to offer. And then they were good for a while. And then they've wilted maybe a little bit. And this will be a different test. And look, if they want to run blitz galore with Lamar back there, Lamar's going to hit more than just layups. Lamar's going to make you pay some, certainly in ways that Snoop's probably not. Lamar's not going to need the same volume of opportunities to create as many explosives. And Lamar's chemistry with this group of pass catchers is just different than Snoop's. And look, they're not going, even if the Ravens privately know Lamar's at 65% or whatever that arbitrary number is. Mm. The Steelers won't know. And the Steelers are going to have to respect Lamar Jackson for a while.
Yeah.
For a good while, until or unless what their eyes are telling them is, oh no, this guy is more hurt than they're letting on, or whatever. We have, you know, the back has flared up on him. But like, they're going to have to respect that from the giddy up in a way that they never would with Snoop Huntley in the huddle.
Yeah, and really the other thing, we're focusing on Henry, and rightfully so, he's coming off a 200-plus yard game. Like, the Steelers team gives up a ton of yards. They're 28th in total defense. You can throw the football against the Steelers defense. Like, the 30th in passing yards allowed per game at nearly 250 yards through the air. Now, we know that this is a limited passing attack with Zay Flowers and then Prey, Zay and Prey. I think you can find some joy throwing against this team, too.
Ravens and Steelers Sunday Night Football will be at the Barrel House Live starting at 5 o'clock on Sunday. Hour one, me and the Bone, and then Jason and the Bone taking you home as you get ready for Sunday Night Football. It's essentially a playoff game. Win and you host a game next week. Lose and it's over. Cynthia Freeland's going to join us at 4:30, but coming up next, we finish off Week 17, recap Monday Night Football. And we'll hear from Mike McDonald, Jim Harbaugh, D'Amico Ryans getting you ready for Week 18, League at Large, next here on the...
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Fan.
Liam McCullough is the long snapper. Bradley Pinion will hold it, the punter. 51-yard field goal try by the right-footed Zane Gonzalez. Indoors on turf. Ball put down after the good snap. The kick is away. It is end over end. It is down the middle. It is good! 51-yarder to take the lead over the Rams with 21 seconds left in regulation.
Game heard right here on 105.7 The Fan. Kevin Harlan on the call for Westwood One. Zane Gonzalez, his second field goal of the game. Second field goal over 50 yards. And the Falcons, behind mostly Bijan Robinson, who went nuts in this game. They defeat the Rams 27-24. Jason, this one's difficult for me to wrap my head around a little bit, because I think the Rams are the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, but because, be the best team in football.
But because of the fact that they've lost a few games they should have won, yep, they're going to have to go on the road in the playoffs.
And now McVay's talking about we might have to play a lot of guys next week to get into better form, because obviously this first half was a failure. The crazy thing about that highlight there is those final 21 seconds were pretty pretty damn entertaining, pretty damn crazy. And Stafford almost, if they make a call that they should be making at this level, they at least have a chance at a game-tying field goal. Now, whether their kicker would have made it or not, you know, who knows, because they've had kicking problems forever. But, I mean, Stafford throwing two pick sixes.
Well, one was they brought it back, but it was a pick, yes.
Yeah. The explosives to Nacua that got negated via penalty. Bijan, 90-yard explosive touchdown run. And then the Rams are still right back in it. It was a bizarre game, but I think... this league right now is so nuts. I mean, the reality is Atlanta still has something to say about that division.
Yes. Well, that's what I was going to... Like, Atlanta, they have to be thinking, what if? Because I know you won by a field goal against the Rams, but they were taking it to the Rams. They took it to the Bills, and then they have these bizarre losses, like getting shut out 30-0 against the Panthers. You lost to the Jets a few weeks ago. Like, they win any of those games, then they're still in this thing. But if they end up beating the Saints, then the Panthers clinch no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, this league is tough to figure now. And the Rams, I mean, you could think back 3 weeks ago, they're flying high. They got an inside track on the one seed. Stafford's going to win the MVP. I think the betting markets say it's May. Now, the betting markets have been wrong before. Do they end up having to go to the Eagles again? Like, not that the Eagles look great now, but the Eagles have had their number.
Yes.
It's crazy. They're going to finish third in that division.
There's a world where Puka has 200 yards receiving last night, and City has five catches for 47 yards.
Yeah, I mean, and again, NFL officiating is pretty atrocious. It's pretty atrocious.
Let's go back to Sunday. The Seattle Seahawks go to Carolina and beat the Panthers. And Mike McDonald talks about the growth of his defense since the last time they faced the 49ers. They face them this weekend.
It's funny. I just think we've grown as a defense, and as coaches included, of how we prepare our guys. I think we have a better feeling for what our guys are good at and what they can handle on a game plan basis. You know, we had to pivot pretty drastically in that game, and that happens. It happens all the time, and you got to be able to do that to win. And so, you know, we're gonna have a plan this game that we feel great about, hopefully. And you know, you got to kind of have a backup plan too if things don't really go your way. You never know what's going to happen, but I would just say we just have a better understanding of who we are, who can do what, you know, how much we can carry, all those things. I feel like we have more clarity at this point, which I'm actually glad that's the case. Otherwise, that wouldn't be a very good job on our part.
Seattle's 13-3. They're better on the road. They're a point and a half favorite in San Francisco, who with a win will get the one seed. San Francisco keeps winning, even though like their defense is not very good.
Yeah, I think this game has the potential to be a shootout because San Francisco has fared pretty well against McDonald's offense two of the three times, defense that Purdy's faced them. Tight ends are a problem for McDonald. And if Kittle comes back the way Tonjes can go too, I think Shanahan's going to be able to do a lot of interesting things out of 12 and 13 personnel throwing the ball. San Francisco's defense is an abject failure.
Yeah,
I mean,
terrible.
I think, you know, Smith and Jigba and Darnold will get theirs. The 49ers offense is really on fire right now. It should be a heck of a game, but like, what a hire by John Schneider, man. I mean, Seattle has hit a home run with this guy, and that's a young team, and it's not like they went out and tore down Pete Carroll's roster. They found which of those holdovers made sense. It's been largely buttressed by the draft and some select trades like Ernest Jones and a couple of really shrewd free agent signings. I just have a hard time
trusting Darnold.
Yeah.
Well, that's where we are, right?
Because even in that Rams game where they ended up winning, he threw two interceptions in that last one. So is he going to have that crucial turnover? He fumbled at the end of the season opener against the Niners.
Let's go to the AFC, and Jim Harbaugh is the head coach of the Chargers. They lost to the Texans in that game that was being played before the Ravens game on Saturday. Justin Herbert was under siege in that game. He talks about fixing the protection of Herbert, knowing they'll see more of these defenses in the playoffs.
Yeah. We'll learn from it. You know, some of the things that happened today, clean up some things to clean up and use those to be better tomorrow.
So this is kind of good. I don't know what to expect from the Chargers this week.
He's not playing. I mean,
Herbert's not playing.
Said,
yeah.
I mean, so if you're sitting him, you're.
Yeah. So, and the Broncos are going for the one seed.
Broncos can clinch the one seed. The Chargers are playing for the playoffs as well they should. They'll give Herbert's hand at least a couple of weeks to heal before he has to play again between that Saturday game and whenever they play in the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be not much to glean from that game. I would think Sean Payton plays pedal to the metal, tries to win it by halftime. Doesn't mean it's going to go that way. Doesn't mean the Chargers' backups won't put up a fight. And we've seen plenty of crazy stuff happening. But the matchups are going to be everything. Like, could they win a shootout against the New England team that doesn't have great pass rushers? Absolutely. Could they beat the Ravens because the Ravens have no pass rush? Mm. Absolutely. Do I think they could beat Denver or Houston on the road in the playoffs?
With those pass rushers, yeah.
I don't think so.
It certainly seems like a very vulnerable team. And Justin Herbert still has to get that monkey off his back in the first playoff win as well. So that's going to be a huge topic of conversation and lead up with whoever they end up playing.
Let's hear from D'Amico Ryans. They won that game against the Chargers. Their defense, they have two great pass rushers. And head coach talks about his defense.
The defense showed up with another impressive performance. These guys have been playing lights out all year, every single game. But the way the D-line showed up today, I mean, sack after sack, I mean, it's really putting pressure on the quarterback, getting him down,
It was really cool to see Barnett get a couple sacks. Just a lot of different guys got sacks. Barnett, Will, Daniels, Rankins, everybody was involved. Coach Rod has done a great job with those guys all year. We needed them to play big today, and they did.
Texans are hosting the Colts, who are starting Riley Leonard in that game, they've announced. But the Jaguars are hosting the Titans. Now, we've seen stranger things happen. I remember the Ravens made the playoffs one year when Chase Daniel led the Chiefs over the Chargers. Yeah. So, but the Texans are probably expecting to be a wild card.
Yeah, and I mean, you wonder in these situations, right? If you look at the Sunday schedule, they put the games in a certain way because you've got to keep competitive stuff clustered in the one or the four on Sunday. And obviously, most games are Sunday. Like, they're going to be scoreboard watching. And if Jacksonville is thrashing the Titans, I suspect D'Amico Ryans throttles down a little bit. I don't really love his offense, but no. I think his defense could carry them pretty, pretty far. Like, I don't know, frankly, in the AFC, because the there is no Mahomes, right? Like, you look at the pedigree of all these quarterbacks. I don't know that there's anyone there who that they're going to feel like defensively we can't shut down.
Just do you trust C.J. Stroud is the question.
I mean, just don't F it up. Throw it to Woody Marks a bunch. They've got, a good kicker. Like, I just think... Like, Fairbairn's legit.
Yes.
Like, I think they feel like we can win games 15-14.
He threw a horrible pick at the end of the first half of that Chargers game. He's got to stop that. Like, that's how they lose, right? Like, because the defense
is
that good. That's
exactly how they lose.
Coming up next, we'll continue talking football with our friend, IA Hall of Famer, Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. Who does she like in the Ravens-Steelers game and the rest of the NFL? We'll talk to Cynthia next here on The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
We've made it to the final week of the NFL schedule. Ravens and Steelers Sunday night for the division. Let's bring on our friend, IA Hall of Famer, Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. And Cynthia, I hope you had yourself a Merry Christmas. Let's talk about those Ravens and look back before we look forward. Just your thoughts on Derrick Henry running all over the Packers. And now with the Steelers loss to the Browns, they have a division they can still win this Sunday.
Well, number one, I'm glad the scheduling gods allowed us to get this because that's a fun end to the season. Number two, you know, I think we've talked about getting the ball into Derrick Henry's hands a little bit more, but it's amazing what happens, especially when you talk about the difference between when someone's in shotgun versus under center and the ability to kind of navigate changes that way. I love the fact that the halftime adjustments included switching from rushing to the inside to rushing to the outside. It just was a brilliantly called game, and especially against the Packers team that was number one in the NFL heading into the week and not missing tackles in the run game. So it was just, gosh, you know, it's kind of like Derrick Henry's really good. Maybe he should just like get the ball into the hands of, you know, the best player out there. It's just a thought.
Yeah. Well, Cynthia, looking back to the first matchup between the Ravens and Steelers, Aaron Rodgers threw for a season high in passing yards. DK Metcalf had a season high in receiving yards, but we know no DK Metcalf in this second matchup. He is suspended. How big of a loss is that for the Steelers offense?
That's a massive loss. He was playing like over 88% of offensive snaps for the team. So this wasn't a guy who was even close to rotating in, basically. I mean, it changes the calculus for how deep you have to defend any single potential look that they're going to give you. They come out and they like to play heavy. We know they're going to play a lot of heavy fronts no matter what. And then you know Aaron Rodgers is going to get the ball out quickly. Got it. Understood. Now, you don't have DK Metcalf to potentially stretch the field a little bit. Those formations are going to look a lot more manageable for the defense when you don't have to deal with, I don't know, like someone that doesn't look like an avatar. He looks more like an avatar than a human.
Malik Willis had himself a night, made himself a lot of money. This team has predicated its defensive prowess in so much as they have it on the back end, because we know while they may appreciate pass rush, they're not moving up to draft it high, and they're not spending on it. Nate Wiggins is the second most thrown on cornerback in the NFL per True Media, and he's bottom 10 in yards allowed, and he's 11th in 20 plays of 20 yards or more. And Marlon looks cooked. I don't know why Marlon's still a boundary corner, other than I guess their secondary. It doesn't have any depth because they keep running him out there as a boundary corner. And Hamilton is now a linebacker, so he's not really a safety. And Aloe Gilmer is a liability in coverage. Like, do they need to rebuild their secondary?
I mean, I don't think they should go out and get Trayvon Diggs.
No.
I think you do the best with what you can in the offseason. And these are names, like, these are players who, if they had more, like, it kind of goes hand in glove, right? If they had a little more help up front, it would look better in the back. If they had a little bit, you know, if the back were scaring defenses away, then they'd look a lot better up front. So it, in the same way that they go together for beneficial things, when both aren't working together, then it looks bad on both of them. So I think that, you know, it's just as much to blame for being in the bottom five in terms of pressure rate on opposing quarterbacks week over week. That's a problem too. So I think part of it is you play with what you have. And I mean, obviously Kyle Hamilton is insane, and you rely on that as much as you can, and you figure out a way to use the fact that we know kind of what the strategy is going to be with using the running backs as wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Kenneth Gainwell's lined up in non-backfield alignments. That just sounds crazy, but, you know, not in the backfield, and caught passes not out of the backfield, third most often of any running back this season. So you kind of know what you're going to get. I don't think that the they're not going to change their stripes right now when it comes to that.
We're talking to Cynthia Freeland's Inside Access here on The Fan. So who do you like and why Sunday night?
You know, I have the Ravens edging the Steelers out ever so slightly. Neither defense is something where you're used to. Like, when I close my eyes and think, and everyone, and I'm sure you guys mostly even more than me, but nationally we think Steelers and Ravens, and this is going to be like a 7-10 game. And that's just not the defenses we're dealing with this year. And the dynamicism that you're getting from Derrick Henry from those different formations, and Zay Flowers quietly having, like, top receiving yard. We talk about Jackson Smith-Njigba, okay? We talk about Puka Nacua, okay? We don't really talk about Zay Flowers being right up there amongst the league leaders in receiving yards. So I think there's just enough push and enough of those different areas where, without DK Metcalf, the amount of edge you get from that defense, meaning the defense gets a little bit of a telegraph as to what Aaron Rodgers can do, what's possible from the different formations pre-snap, that the Ravens end up winning the division, and everyone's like, oh my goodness, this is crazy.
Well, let's go to some other big-time matchups in Week 18, and we were just talking about this one. The 49ers hosting the Seahawks for the one seed in the NFC. How do you see that game playing out?
I mean, that one feels like either way. Like, I have that 6-1, half a dozen of another. Now, my math has the Seahawks winning this one by just a very small amount, in large part because I don't know about the status of George Kittle, even if he's playing. Mm-hmm. So George Kittle potentially not being there is huge. Rashid Shaheed, huge if he's not playing in this game with a concussion. They're also missing a potential corner for the Niners, you know, that plays a lot in the slot. You know, they love to play a lot of nickel on that team. They play cover four. They play nickel more than anyone. So if you're missing Upton Stout, it's going to change the dynamic nature that, you know, a guy who lines up out what? Jackson Smith-Njigba. So those tiny marginal differences are what edges it out. Although, if I had a vote, my vote would be for Christian McCaffrey to be the league MVP. So, I wouldn't be surprised if this one went the 49ers' way. But my model, my math has the Seahawks, but not by very much.
How many teams do you think, like, legitimately can win the Super Bowl?
This year?
Yeah.
I think it's either going to be in the NFC, it's fewer. I think it's going to be whoever's the winner of the NFC West. I just feel like that division is crazy and going to – I don't know who the Eagles are. I don't think the Bears are quite ready yet.
No.
Nobody wants to win the South, so that's kind of how I feel. But in the AFC, I could flip, you know, however many teams make it past – like, I have no lean. It could be anyone. I feel like this is the most wide-open Super Bowl I can remember, and the wide-open playoffs that I in such a long time. And it's kind of wild that the NFC West is my only, like, but three teams from the NFC West. So it's just a crazy one. But I truly don't believe there should be any favorite, more, you know, crazy favorite. Like, you know, there's no Chiefs going into this.
Right.
Cynthia, you mentioned you'd vote for Christian McCaffrey for MVP. We know that running backs don't usually win the MVP, and we went into last night thinking that Matthew Stafford was going to win the MVP. So in light of what we saw last night, obviously you said you would vote for McCaffrey, but who do you think will win the MVP? Is it still Stafford? Could it be Drake May?
I think Drake May will win the MVP because there's something about the voters where they like compromise and they'll give Christian McCaffrey. They'll be like, well, he's the comeback player of the year, so let's be fair and just dole out things to different people. Whatever, drives me crazy. but I think Drake May will win it. It's typically a quarterback award, whatever. And part of the reason why I think he wins it is the expectation preseason. Everybody thought that the Rams were going to be good preseason, and everyone was like, oh, you know, it could go either way because we saw the Patriots be really bad and Drake May's only his second year. Maybe it was a second season slump, blah, 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 blah. So I just think that it's the perception versus the reality, and the perception ahead of the season was that it's not going to be the Patriots can't. It's the Bills division. There's no way he could outmatch, you know, Josh Allen, et cetera.
Cynthia, you were just saying that this playoffs is so wide open, and I think especially so in the AFC, but the Texans, it seems like that defense is championship caliber. The offense, there's still some questions there. Could they make a deep run?
I think they could. My problem with the Texans is when you have that good of a defense, the best way to back up a really good defense is to have a strong run game. Because if you get a lead, you can extend your lead and just bleed them dry, yeah. Right? Like, if you have that good of a pass defense specifically, the complementary aspect of football would say, just run. I mean, Ravens, you know, that was a formula for a while. So ultimately, I'm looking at this one and I'm saying, I just need to feel like I consistently see some run game to help support C.J. Stroud, who's played very well. But in some moments, it's still a little confusing. I haven't seen consistency in that passing offense to where you're like, I know who they are. I know what they can do. You know, even like think about how you feel about even Sam Darnold, for example. He can throw an interception. You're like, not out of it yet, because they can run the football enough. And they've got Jackson Smith and Jigba. I know exactly the deep pass will work for them eventually. So you just don't have that sort of same feeling about the identity of the offense.
Cynthia Freeland, always great chatting with you. Thank you so much for your time. Have yourself a happy new year.
Happy new year. You guys are the best. I'll talk to you next year.
Thank you so much. Yes, we will. Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. Coming up next, let's get back to the Orioles. And he's not a young dude, but we're talking Orioles and all the young dudes. And how about we hear from Zach Eflin, who met with the media via Zoom after re-signing with the Orioles. What do we think of this move? We'll tell you next here on The Fan.
Yeah, so I think I'm about like 4.5 months post-surgery. I feel fantastic. I've been doing some mound work, and I think I have my first bullpen scheduled on January 6th. So everything's been going smooth. And as of now, like my goal is to be ready for opening day for the first start of the season. You know, it could change. I don't know. We still have another month and a half to go until I get to spring, but I feel better than I ever have in my life, and I'm fully prepared to, you know, be ready for that first week of the season.
That's Zach Eflin meeting with the media over Zoom, signed a one-year, $10 million deal to come back to the Orioles. I was told he's been dealing with a back for 4 years, and now the pain became unmanageable. He had a cyst or a spur removed. He says he feels great. What do you think of the signing?
I mean, it's a depth signing. It's a value signing. It's the kind of thing that they've it's very much on brand for them. Now, if they do something major on top of it and this gets relegated to a fringe move, then that would be changing their spots. That would be a major course correction. He obviously didn't look right from, I don't know, about a month into his stint here after the trade, and then it was all downhill from a health standpoint after that. I said in real time, when the Rays trade a guy like this who isn't making crazy money at what seems to be the height of his powers, when he's getting down ballot Cy Young votes, they might know better. And the second year here was pretty much a lost cause. It was for them big money down the drain. So I can understand why they want that to look good. And so they're going to, yeah, we can get him for 1 year, 10. Let's take a shot. I don't know when he's going to be back. I don't know that when they exactly know when he's going to be back. And anybody who's been dealing with a back issue for years gives me pause. And the fact that you were able to get him for this kind of money, the market obviously has reservations about, at this stage of his career, him able to get back to where he was. To me, it's TBD, because if they prove that they're going to go buy a pitcher via trade or a free agency, an established, in-form, healthy, front-of-the-rotation starter, then it changes everything. If they don't, they're showing you who they are. And one $25 million first baseman, for me, ain't enough to convince me that things have actually changed.
Yeah, this would be quality depth. Assuming they go out and, let's just say, bring in a Ranger Suarez, then you feel really good, because this is a move with some upside. Because last year was horrific for Zach Eflin. And he said that he suffered this back injury 10 years ago, and it sounds like it significantly altered his mechanics. And he didn't look right at all, because Eflin, throughout the majority of his career, has been relatively consistent. He doesn't walk people, and especially in his first 12 starts for the Orioles, 10 of them were quality starts. You could pencil him in for a quality start each time. He made $18 million last year. He's making $10 million this year, mm-hmm. So that's a significant cut there. It's a one-year deal. This is a move with upside, but there still needs to be more of that top-of-the-rotation guy added.
More from Zach Eflin. Did he always expect to re-sign in Baltimore?
There were some real options. I can't lie about that. I didn't know where I was going to be. I didn't, like, going through back surgery and cutting close to the spine, like, you know, the first thing I needed to take care of was the quality of life and being a father and a husband, and getting back to, you know, being able to be a good dad. And everything else I felt like was going to take care of itself. As I kind of built up and started to feel better, I thought, you know, like, you know, be able to see. And I think at that point, everything kind of started picking up a little bit. I've been throwing since early November. It wasn't a secret. And to be able to have the opportunity to come back after kind of everything that I put the organization through, is just a tremendous blessing. And I just felt the loyalty kind of speaking to me. And, you know, it's the last thing I wanted to do was be the guy they traded for and get hurt and not be the guy that they wanted. And that really weighed on me throughout the whole process and getting surgery. Like, I missed the last 6 weeks of the season. I wasn't around the guys. I was kind of just bed rest, stuck in St. Pete, not really doing anything, kind of in a dark place.
So he sounds like he was telling a lot of bearing his soul a little bit, yeah. There. Said he had other options, that he got cut near his spine.
Yeah, that's
scary.
But he wanted to come back because he wanted to prove the Orioles right for trading for him and not being there for them. I'll echo what you guys said. If he's – and I he says he wants to be ready by opening day. I tell him, look, Zach, you're ready when you're ready.
Major surgery.
Yeah, you're ready when you're ready. If he becomes their fifth starter because they went out and got somebody else, I love this move. If this is all they do with the starting pitching – then I'm sort of with Jason. I'm like, this is not truly trying to win. This is not going for it. Like, if this is, because that's what they do every other year. But if they double down off of this and go get a frontline starter, whether it's Freddie Peralta,
if this is
or
the equivalent of running Kyle Gibson back last year, yeah, which if you do nothing else, it has the potential to be.
Sure.
Then get the F out of here.
But if this is the pitching version of getting Taylor Ward and then going and getting Pete Alonso, and you go side Ranger Suarez or you trade for Freddie Peralta, then potentially I love this move because he's your back of the rotation guy.
Well, and look, if he becomes a swingman or whatever, so be it. You can never have too many capable arms. But yeah, this is a major surgery. He was bearing his soul there. He doesn't owe anybody any apologies. People get hurt. And if this is something he's been pitching with forever, which again, I'm not surprised the Rays moved him. When they did, then, you know, there's potential for him to unlock something else, I guess. But, like, yeah, I mean, spinal surgery or surgery around the spine, it takes however long it takes.
Coming up next, we get back to Ravens Steelers. And Jerry Dulac covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's covered them for a long time. He knows the Steelers just about as well as anyone. And he joins us next here on The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.